the reading today is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, starting at verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. I'm just going to read verse 35 again. Our young people are going to go out to their activities, and then I'm going to pray for David as he brings God's word to us this morning. So verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your name, which is powerful. And Lord God, we long that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow before you, and every tongue confess you as Lord, our Saviour. And Lord, this morning, as David opens up your word to us, Lord, I pray you will breathe through that by your Spirit, and you'll speak powerfully to us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Katie and the band and those who've been sharing those scriptures. And welcome those who are here and those who are watching online. It's so good to be together as we continue our series that we started last week on In the Footsteps of Jesus, about growing as followers of him. And so I just wonder, if you were here last week, how's your week been? How's your week been? You know, I was thinking about walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And as I was reading this week, I found this quote from John Piper so helpful because it was refreshingly honest. And maybe if you'd had a chance to say how your week's been, there would be some good points about how you've been following Jesus, but also maybe some struggles. This is what John Piper writes in a great book called Desiring God. He says this: every day with Jesus is not sweeter than the day before. Some days with Jesus, our disposition is sour. Some days with Jesus are so sad, we feel our heart will break open. Some days with Jesus, we are so depressed and discouraged that between the car and the house, we just want to sit down and cry. He goes on and says, every day with Jesus is not sweeter than the day before. We know it from experience, and we know it from Scripture. And then he quotes the psalm that we actually started with at the start of our service. He says, for David says in Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. If life were a steady ascent with no dips in our affection for God, we wouldn't need to be revived. I don't know about you, but I often feel in need of being revived. I guess it's probably true for many of us here. And maybe you are here even today in need of feeling revived. Or maybe you're here today and you're actually still wondering, is there a God? Is there someone who is hearing these songs we're singing and our prayers we're praying? And I've found this amazing thing, a verse in the Bible that says, James 4 verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I've found if you kind of step forward towards God, even if it's a kind of step of saying, do you know what, God, I'm not even sure if you're there, but if you are, would you please reveal yourself to me? Maybe you're even coming to this service this morning or watching online in the kind of, God, I'm not sure if you're there, but if you are, I'm interested. Then it's so good what you're doing. I've found God responds in spades. And if you've been here many, many years, I know too that as we draw near to God, as you press in, God loves to respond. And so I want to talk today about prioritizing personal time with God. Prioritizing personal time with God. I mean, it's amazing even that we can talk like that, isn't it? We spoke last week about this life with God, that we get to walk with God. You know, imagine having kind of a message come through, or maybe a text or an engraved letter saying that actually, I don't know, the prime minister or the king wanted to meet with you at some point next week. You know what? I don't know what your political persuasion is or what you think about the monarchy, but I'm guessing you would probably look to try and prioritize that time because it's just a great thing to talk about, to say, look, I got to meet with the prime minister or with the king, a personal audience. I mean, wow. But you know, God, far, far, far more amazing than king or prime minister, wants to meet with you or I, is willing to meet with you or I. And so isn't it amazing that we actually even need to have a kind of message talking about prioritizing personal time with God? If we just knew that to be true, we'd kind of think, oh, wow. But actually, the reality is it's so often a struggle. I know in my own life, it's a struggle to make time to pray and spend with God. So why do we struggle? Well, again, I've found another author, Jo Swinney, in her great book, God Hunting on the Spiritual Disciplines, is so helpfully honest about the chapter she writes on prayer. She said this, I've thought a lot about why I find prayer difficult. And here are some of the main reasons. I can't see God. When you're talking to someone invisible, you feel a bit like you're talking to yourself. She goes on and says, I'm not sure how to pray for suffering people in difficult situations because I don't want to get my hopes up that something might change and risk being disappointed when it doesn't. She goes on and says, I don't have many quiet spaces in my life. And when I do, I fill them up and they are not usually filled with prayer. She goes on and says, when I begin to pray, I get overwhelmed by how much there is to pray about, and I don't know where to begin. Where I really want to begin is with my own little life and its troubles, but that seems so self-centered, so I give up even before I start. I don't know if any of those relate to you, but I know that for many of us, prayer is a struggle. It's not always straightforward. To be offered this kind of time with God doesn't always make us go, yeah, oh, great, I'll grab that and make the most of it. But you know, Joe writes that at the beginning of this chapter on prayer, but then she talks about spending this month trying to grow in prayer, pressing into God, because she knows it is worth it. And my longing today for you and for me is that we would afresh know why it is worth making specific time to be quiet with God, to open up his word, and to pray. And there are all kinds of benefits that come from that. You know, why is it worth it? Well, because God is true to his promise. As we draw near to God, he draws near to us. Because the psalm is true. It revives and refreshes our soul when we do that. That's certainly my experience. It restores our joy when we take time with God. It helps clarify our focus as we see happening in the passage we've just read. In fact, if it was important for Jesus to spend time with his Father, how much more for you and I? So I want to really dig into just this one verse, Mark 1:35, and we'll press into this together, where it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. The first thing I want us to see is this. Jesus models life with the Father to us. He models life with the Father. You know, we saw last week Jesus calling his disciples, and these fishermen left their nets to follow him. And then in the bits kind of in between what we read last week and what we read this week, we see Jesus going around this kind of region of Galilee, and he's meeting and encountering people with kind of with demonic influences in their life, real ways in which the enemy has gripped their life, and Jesus drives out the demons. There's an amazing kind of deliverance that is happening in Jesus' ministry. And then he goes on and he encounters people who are sick. And like Philip and Ralph were sharing in those amazing, powerful words, there is power in the name of Jesus to heal, and he heals people. And then he meets with Simon Peter, one of his disciples, and his mother-in-law is in bed with a fever, and Jesus, with such compassion, goes and ministers to him. And the disciples are watching how Jesus goes about his work. Amazing things are happening. In fact, people are kind of crowding round, wanting, as you can imagine, to meet and experience something of the power of Jesus. And so the next day, they get up. Where's Jesus? Where's he gone? Hey, have you seen Jesus? Everyone's looking for him. And we read that everyone was kind of looking for him. And so they have to go, and they discover that kind of Jesus has disappeared. And they think, where's he gone? And they kind of beginning maybe to get a sense that he often likes to get time out somewhere. And they kind of know to kind of go look for him. And they're like, Jesus, what are you doing? Everyone's looking for you. But Jesus is showing to them the importance of time with his Father. Jesus is wanting the disciples, wanting you and I to make this connection that in his ministry, those healings, those powerful words that he was able to share, the way he could work was all based on the fact that he was walking with his Father, that he was dependent on his Father God. And he's trying to model that to the disciples. And eventually they start getting it. Later on in the Gospels, they actually say, okay, Jesus, teach us how to pray. We want something of what you've got. We see what you're doing here. You take time to prayer. We want more of that in our lives. You know, they see the power, the compassion, the wisdom that comes out of those times with God. You know, why did Jesus need to pray? If he was the Son of God in perfect relationship with his Father? Well, because he was human. As a human, he needed times to listen to his Father, to prepare for the day, to take time to be refreshed in his soul, to be dependent on him. And so he prioritized a quiet time with God. He went out, we read, very early in the morning while it was still dark. He found a time that was going to be quiet between him and his Father. And I want to encourage you to find a quiet time. Maybe you've got one already. Maybe you had one a year or a month or a week ago, but you didn't get one kind of much yesterday or 3 days ago. I would really encourage you to find a quiet time each day. It could be at any point in the day. It might be in your lunch break or at the end of the day. But I want to say this, that there is something really great about getting that time at the beginning of the day like Jesus does here. Doesn't have to be then, it's just important getting it. But if you start the day in that time with the Father, it's like your priorities are saying, above everything else today, this is what I need. And I find it sets me up for the day. I find it helps me to be centered. As George Muller put it, I found this so helpful. He wrote in this once, he was an amazing man of prayer and helped start loads of orphanages in Bristol. He said, I saw more clearly than ever that the first and great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. The first thing to be concerned about was not how much I might serve the Lord or how I might glorify the Lord, but how I might get my soul into a happy state and how my inner man may be nourished. I saw the most important thing I had to do was to give myself to the reading of the Word of God and to meditation on it. There's something about coming to God's Word, like we read about it being like honey. And getting our soul kind of nourished, or the Bible's described sometimes as bread, to be kind of nourished. My dad sometimes used to say when he was a student, they used to encourage each other, no Bibles, no breakfast. You know, getting time in God's word to nourish our heart, to allow that to be the first thing we come and feed off, and to allow our soul to be revived, for joy to come, to be in a happy place with God, a place where we know we're loved. We know that Jesus has won it all. And you know, one of the amazing things about starting the day like that is then when everyone, you start checking your messages and you come into the office and everyone's got things they want you to do, and maybe the kids are saying this or your neighbor wants that done, and everyone's got a demand on your life. Actually, you can go, but this is what I know God wanted me to do today. And we're able to be secure in his voice, knowing that we are loved by him and led by him. Get time. It doesn't even have to be a long time where you get personal time with God. Get a quiet time. And maybe actually a helpful thing in Mark 1:35 is to realize that so often a quiet time is combined with a quiet place. It says, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. You know, to find a time where we can really talk and listen to God is so often, it needs not just a quiet time, but a quiet place. I find a chair helps me it's in the kitchen, and often I go there, and it's the place that I know this is where I'm trying to pray and read God's word. Or sometimes I might go out for a walk or something like that. And I just want to encourage you, do you have a quiet place? Maybe you're struggling to have a quiet time because you've not got a quiet place. And also, one of the things that sometimes makes finding a quiet place hard is because our phones often go with us everywhere, and they can bombard us with all kinds of things that we need to do. And so the phones, as I'll come to in a bit, can be really helpful in helping us in having devotions and time with God and having a quiet time. They can guide us through that. Our Bible might be on our phone. But so often we then need to sort of disable or ignore other apps, turn off notifications, so we can actually have a kind of quiet heart and head, a quiet place, even on our phone, we're able to focus on God. You know, there's all kinds of forms that a quiet time can take, all kinds of different forms that place can take, but the function of having time with God is what I want to so encourage you. Jesus modeled it for our sake. In fact, I would say that he modeled it because he needed it, but he wanted his disciples to see that he needed it. There was an example that he was setting for others. And in this series, as we think about how to ourselves grow as followers of Jesus Christ, I want to also help us think, how do we help others grow? And this is one of the ways that we help others grow. There may be people around you, maybe your kids, who sometimes kind of see, oh, look, my parents are prioritizing time with God. You know, or maybe there's times when you come out of those times with God with a kind of clarity of direction, and maybe you're able to say to people through that day, oh, this is something God shared with me this week, or what Jeff was saying about, you know, I was skiing in the mountains, but this was the word of God I was thinking about that was nourishing my soul. And you're able to share it, and it helps people see, oh, they're getting time. They're not just on holiday. They're spending time with God. And so to have places and times where we are able to help others see something of the priority in our lives of time alone with God. You know, actually, Jesus in the future, he took not just the 12 along with him, but sometimes when he went to pray, he just took three. And, you know, he took the three disciples, James, John, and Peter. One time he took them up on a mountain. Another time he kind of, he was in Gethsemane and he brought the disciples with him. And then he left some of the disciples and he just took James and John and Peter to go pray with him. And we as a church, we've tried to help people see that there's kind of different places of belongings that are going to help us grow in our walk with God. I think we've got a slide here where this is a great place to hear again God's word, to grow in our faith and our walk as a disciple. We also recognize that Jesus sent out kind of the 72 as a kind of cluster of people on mission together. And then he had his disciples, like the 12, which are like our communities. And I spoke last week about how being part of a community could help you in your walk with God. But he also had those kind of relationships with James, John, and Peter, which were a bit closer, where it was only kind of like three of them, maybe four of you included Jesus. But this picture of kind of threes, of places where we can kind of draw others into our time with God. I know I found it a real blessing when others have drawn alongside me and kind of shown me their time with God, or I've had that with them. Or when I've kind of did that with my parents or my dad, and I've tried to do that sometimes with others. And particularly I want to say families, parents. One thing we want to do is help you through this series to grow in how to have those kind of quiet times, those devotional times with your kids. And so next Sunday, if you're a parent here, any age kids, next Sunday we're doing a lunch for you, me and Amanda. And we want to help you think about and learn and explore and learn from each other how we can have kind of times with our kids of helping them get time with God. So that's next Sunday. But this also, just while we're here, you might be in a place where you actually would like something like this. Maybe you know some people, you think, I'd love to kind of dig into God's word together. And maybe this series is a chance to say to someone you know, hey, how about we sometimes just meet up and read God's word and pray together? Maybe you just know that would hold you accountable to do it. Or maybe you actually think, I think I've got a regular pattern. I'm not sure what they do. And I could love to help them. Maybe they're new in their faith. And that could be a fantastic thing to do. So I want to just encourage you to think through that lens of threes as well as we keep moving forward through this series. And again, you're not necessarily going to be able to do all these things. But it might be that you're not in a community and a three could really bless you. Or it may be that you are in a community but you've got loads of time. And actually, you could get involved in somewhere like that. Or maybe you're a parent and just this focus, this term, needs to be on helping your kids grow in that way as well. So, Jesus models time with the Father. He helps us see the importance of that. But I want to just talk lastly and briefly as well about how Jesus doesn't just model that, but he enables our time and life with the Father. He's not just our example, he's the one who makes it possible, because really there should be no place anywhere where you and I can meet with God. We're not perfect. Jesus was, but you and I are not. And so a holy God, how can we really be in the presence and get time with God like Jesus did? Well, it's only because he has enabled that. He, the perfect Son, has come, and on that cross he was forsaken so that me, David, and you, whoever you are, you can be the one who's not forsaken, who's drawn near to God. In fact, at the cross, there was this curtain that was separating the Holy of Holies in the temple, the place where God was seen to dwell. And when Jesus died, it was kind of torn from top to bottom, and the way was made open to God. Jesus makes a way for you and I to approach God and get personal time with our Father. In fact, Jesus teaches us, like no one did before, to pray to God and say, Our Father. He teaches us to come into the presence of God at great cost. The price has been paid. So I want to say, brothers and sisters, let's not waste it. It's not just like we've got a letter to say, come and meet the king or the prime minister. It's a letter that he's paid for. It's like a ticket that cost him his life, so that you and I could meet with God and have a chance to speak with him and to hear from him. And so we see Jesus came into the presence of the Father and he prayed. He talked with God, his Father. And you know, you and I, as we get those quiet times, we want to talk with God. That's prayer, and we want to listen to God. That's opening up his word. That's seeing and encountering who God is. And you know, one of the amazing things we read in the word of God is that, I love the way this came out in the scriptures that were shared and in our singing, is that the word of God is all about Jesus. He is the word made flesh. And so you and I, as we come into that time with God, if you're thinking, well, God, what do you like? Would you remind me what you like? We can read of Jesus in the Gospels or the bits of the New Testament that refer back to Jesus, or in the Old Testament that point to him. We can open up God's word and have time with God made possible through Jesus. I've found this really helpful this week. I remember reading when I was younger a little booklet called 7 Minutes with God. If you only get 7 minutes, that's the start. And I found this little summary online of that little booklet, 7 Minutes with God. I've printed 100 copies. It's got this great little page. I found this so helpful coming back to it even again myself. It said this: Do it for the right reason. This is one of the bits. Do not become devoted to the habit, but to the Savior. Spend time in the Word and prayer, not because other people are doing it, not as a spiritless duty every morning, not merely as an end in itself, but because God has granted us the priceless privilege of fellowship with Him. And then it's got a little thing you can do in the 7 minutes. And the first thing is just half a minute. Prepare your heart. I found this so helpful. Invest the first 30 seconds preparing your heart. You might pray, Lord, cleanse my heart so you can speak to me through the scriptures. Make my mind alert, my soul active, and my heart responsive. Surround me with your presence during this time. And then it has a little pattern of how you can get time in God and then a little guide for prayer. And I just would love you, if you're not in a regular habit of having a quiet time with God, please, will you take one of these as you leave? Or if you think, you know what, that might help someone I'm trying to help, would you grab one of these? It's amazing what a difference it can make in your life. You know, that whole picture about being master swordsman? How do we become master swordsman? How do we help raise the next generation of master swordsmen? People who know how to wield God's word? Well, you've got to spend time. Got to spend time in God's word. There's so much lies. So much time we spend being bombarded by lies. If we're not holding on to the truth and allowing that to soak into our heart and mind. And so why not start even this week, 7 minutes each day with God? You know, I've shared before, I found an app that does a similar thing to that really helpful. It's an app called Lectio 365. And again, if you find that actually you just need something that maybe you can do on the go, or this has got a great audio version, there's some great audio things that you can use online, that can be so helpful to help us in our walk with God. So I really recommend, I know many people in the church use that Lectio 365, and even this morning I was again blessed by it. But as we come and spend time with God in His Word and in prayer, I want to lastly just talk about prayer. You know, I said right at the start how Joe Swinney was honest about the struggles with prayer. And I found this. This is from the Alpha course, which is about to start tomorrow evening. If you find this helpful, there's loads more like this in the Alpha course. So this is just a short little 2.5 minute video about prayer that I've heard many times. And each time I hear it, I find it's a real blessing. I hope it blesses you too.
To keep it simple, to keep it honest, and to keep it going. To keep it simple means that you have to make your prayer as simple as possible. Reduce it even just to one sentence. Can be sometimes 5 minutes, can be 10 minutes, can be half an hour. Then keep it honest. We often think that we have to be in a certain mood to pray, so that before starting praying, we have to be peaceful, we have to be joyful, or we have to be enthusiastic about the Lord. The reality is that most of the time, we are in completely different mood. So we are either worried, or we are tired, or we are frustrated about something, or we are angry about something. The secret is really to realize that each one of these feelings, even the most negative one, I'd say even anger, even lust, can become a fuel to prayer, can be transformed into prayer. When I start praying, I just focus on what is the dominant feeling in my heart. If it is a positive feeling, like joy, I offer this joy to the Lord. If it is a negative feeling, like frustration or tiredness, I start from there and I say to the Lord, Lord, I'm tired or I'm frustrated. And I kind of express all the reasons of my frustrations to the, frustration to the Lord, and I transform them into prayer in this way. And then keep it going. We can pray all the time. I can pray for the people around me. I can just say to the Lord very simply, Lord, I love you, or Lord, help me. I can, in any situation, when I am in a church, when I am in my room before going to bed, before meals, yes, but also when I'm walking, when I'm driving, often I realize I'm praying even without having decided to pray, just because it has become a kind of habit. So keep it simple, keep it honest, keep it going.
Jesus has enabled a way. for the real you, with your real struggles, to meet with the real God. I find it so helpful. Keep it simple. Keep it honest. And keep it up. This isn't something I just long for you to do tomorrow. Something I long for you to do throughout this week. This is something I long for you to get into a habit of doing throughout your life. This is something I long for each one of those kids and young people that they've gone out, that this term we would help them get established in patterns that are going to last with them through their life. But you know, what we model to them really does make a difference. And it really does revive our souls and our hearts as we get time with the one who loves us more than anyone else. He really has, Jesus, made a way. He loves us and died for us. It's not you getting a regular quiet time that's going to save you. That is not what this is about. It's just that getting a quiet time might remind you that you were saved. That you have one who loves you and died for you and rose again. Or it might be even one of those things that you open up God's word if you're not sure yet whether you believe in him. That as you do it, I've often found myself reading through Luke or John's gospel with someone. As they read the Bible, they come to realize Jesus really did die for me. He really does love me and really can save me. Brothers and sisters, let's this week together say we're going to get time in God's word and in prayer with Jesus as we follow in his footsteps, because he has not just modeled life with the Father, he's enabled us to have life with the Father. And why don't we even just start that now? I'm going to invite the band to come up, and in this moment, I'm just going to give you just, it's not going to necessarily be 7 minutes, but it's a few minutes. Might be reflecting back on one of those verses that someone shared, or just even in your own heart, a verse that comes to mind. It might even be that verse, Mark 1:35, and just spend time just with Jesus in his presence. The band are just going to play, and in this time, just be still and just stay seated and allow your heart to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you come and help us all draw near to you, not just in this moment, but through this week. I pray for each one here that you would help them develop a quiet time, a special time with you each day. That it would be life-giving for them, a joy for them, a blessing to them. Lord, we pray those of us who've known what that is and have been a blessing to us, Lord, I pray we'd help others grow in that. And Lord Jesus, we just want to say we love you. We thank you for all you are and all you've done for us. in your mighty name. Amen. In my little Lectio app that I was using this morning, this was one of the prayers, and I just wondered if our prayer team could help us just pray into this for people. But it said this: Holy Spirit, breathe new life into church congregations today. I was praying that for this church, for Burgess Hill, where Tim is preaching today, for churches across our city. Lord, would you breathe new life into church congregations today, Holy Spirit? Wherever they are meeting, surprise us with your power and your presence. Heal the sick. We had some words about that. Heal the sick, Lord. Bind up broken hearts and renew in us all an all-consuming passion for Jesus.